Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach. Thank you for joining us yet for another episode here in August. And if you're fully aware, fall might be upon us. I'm a summer guy. Don't really want to think about fall too much because that leads to winter. Horrible. But what I am excited for is the walk and roll season. It is right around the corner. We're starting to ramp up more and more and getting it on your radar. Today's episode keys in on that event, particularly in the New Jersey area, where we have a phenomenal guest, Mary Beth McCabe. She is going to come on and talk about the walk and roll, the first time walk and roll. Last year, I think it raised, she said, estimated like around, almost $70,000. We're going to talk about how that happened. A lot of things that we uncover. Some key things that I love, and I want you to really listen to these points throughout the episode. She talks about, you know, asking for help, don't expect it. Great advice. I pulled that out when she was, you know, bringing that up. An amazing part of the show there when helping to build your team. And later she gives advice of how to maybe attack a walk and roll or build your own walk and roll team. She says you need that. Team was a theme here. Connections with the FSHD Society through her husband, who was part of FSHD group. With a family support group that got them in connection with the Philadelphia chapter, which got them getting their own New Jersey walk and roll going. That connectivity through the teamwork of the FSHD Society helped manufacture that, get that growth into where it is now. Before, though, we hit record, and you're not going to hear this part. I wish I could have Mary Beth to say it live, but before we hit recording, I always like to talk to the guests, make them feel comfortable, let them know what we're going to talk about. It's no surprise, right? A little pre-show chat. So when you want to be on the show, that's how it goes. And she said something amazing. It was such a nugget, as I call it, because someone asked, you know, why did you do the walk and roll? She said, like, why did you go ahead and do that? And she said, it never occurred to me to say no. Can you believe that? That is gold. It never occurred to me to say no. How many times have you had that moment, right? Probably if you have kids, when they approach you and ask you something, you're not saying, you know, no, as in like for the curiosity or like, for instance, when my kids, even if I'm sore in a given day, dad, would you play catch? I will never say no. There are certain things like it never occurs to me to say no. You just do. Sometimes you just do. You know, it's for the right thing, the right reason. That's when you know you're really following your heart, you know, you're following what's right, what feels good, not just feels good, but helps the community or helps the world, society, our corner of it. If you find yourself doing those things where it didn't even occur to you to say no, that to me is a huge takeaway that unfortunately I couldn't get her to say it again because it was radio gold, as some radio hosts that I follow have said before. And it was great. It was great. If you want to be on the show, please, 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 please. Email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. We need more guests. We need a nice pipeline of guests coming through. That's the best way to do it. We've had amazing guests on telling their story. Yes, if you're sitting here listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, my story? Yes, your story. I want to hear it. The community does. You owe it to the community to share it. Who knows who you could inspire with your words? It's the platform that I love. I'd love you to be a part of it. So fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the email. Don't forget to, I guess, like the show or share it, follow it anywhere you find podcasts. We need to ramp those numbers up. I want to be the number one podcast for this community. That's with your support. It has nothing to do with me. I just facilitate the connections from one person in the community to another. This show is about the people that have FSHD. The loved ones that care for them, the family members that are in the fight with them, if it's parents, siblings, and so on, those that have FSHD like myself, I am hitting it right in the core. I completely understand what you're going through. I totally can relate. It's happening to me. That's why I love this show. It's not any other type of podcast where someone's speaking from a way that they don't understand. They don't. They don't understand what it's like to have FSHD if they don't have it. They just don't. It's not a disrespect. It's a fact. So that's why I want to hear from you. Come be on the show. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to have scientists on. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, things that are ramping up for treatments. Yeah, those might come. But the priority is the community. The priority is the people. So please reach out to me, be on the show. So without further ado, I'd like to get to the episode now as we bring in her from the Macbeth. Oh, Mary Beth, my goodness. This cold is killing me. If you haven't noticed, I'm a little nasally today. Mary Beth is going to join us next from the Jersey Shore. Enjoy the episode. Hi, welcome to the FSHD Society Radio Show. No, it is still the FSHD Straight Talk Show. Since we've changed the format, we've had amazing response and we've had amazing guests. One today is going to talk to us about the walk and roll. We are in August and we have it on our minds. We are building up. I'm sure a lot of teams are already ready to launch. They're probably counting the days and it is upon us. It is that time of the season. I don't think about it as fall coming up. I think about it as walk and roll season. So today from the East Coast, and we'll kind of narrow down where she's tuning in with us here. But Mary Beth McCabe is our next guest here on this episode of FSHD Straight Talk. How's it going, Mary Beth?
Hey, Tim, it's going terrific. And thank you for asking me to come on and have a chat with you this afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Like I told you before I hit record, I'm like, I need a good guest. Reach out to FSHD Society. Like, we got somebody because we need to plug the walk and roll. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Points.
Yes. No pressure. No pressure. Right?
Right.
So, yeah, this is, you know, like I mentioned, this is like the big time of year where we're ramping up. We're, you know, middle of August here. You had a very successful walk and roll last year. But before we get that far down the road, let's kind of back up and we can maybe already tell by a little bit of the accent, even though everybody knows I'm from the Midwest by my accent. I'm not picking on you, Mary Beth, but where are you coming from us from?
I was born and raised in Jersey City, New Jersey. So mm-hmm. I am officially still a New Jersey resident.
Nice.
We just moved a little about 7 years ago out of our initial home, but still a New Jersey girl near the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
That TV show.
No.
Beautiful, not like the beautiful water of Jersey has.
Wait, is that sarcasm or is it really beautiful water?
Oh, it's stunning. New Jersey has the most incredible beaches. We have crystal light sands. I mean, we are the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
So we have currents and tides and things like that. So it's not like they're Pacific or Caribbean, but we have some beautiful beaches here.
Hmm. I don't think people know that, right? Do they?
I was fortunate enough to spend all my summers as a child. And even now we're only 30 minutes. And my mom lives a half a block from the beach as well. So, yeah.
My gosh, that sounds great.
Yes, it is.
It's yeah. Wonderful. But then how about, so the beach life sounds good when it's warm. Does it get cold there in New Jersey, I'd imagine?
Absolutely. You'll get your freezing temperatures in the wintertime. But from the fall, the towns that we grew up in, they usually, all the tourists go home. So there's very small residentials that live all year long. But it's absolutely beautiful in the fall and the winter. Mm.
It's beautiful. Sounds nice.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved, you know, with FSHD Society, the walk and roll, and so forth? How, you know, what is the impact FSHD has to yourself or, you know, with your family? Kind of what's your FSHD story?
You know, it's funny, Tim, because when I received the email and it was saying, oh, you have such an incredible story. And I'm like, I don't think my story is so incredible after hearing so many other people's stories. I feel like we have such a common bond between our stories. Mm. It starts off with, typically, you have something going on in your body and you don't know what it is, and you possibly resemble another person in your family who also doesn't know what's going on with their body. And my dad was a Jersey City fire captain. He's deceased 5 years, and he was in an accident on the job, and he had, in order to go back to his job, he had to have a neurological exam.
Okay.
So with that, And he and I was at this point probably well into my 20s. And the neurologist said, oh, you know, yes, you can go back to work, but did you know you have FSH? Me and my dad's like, what's that? And he said, oh, please don't put it on my record. I want to go back to work, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And from that point, they had asked, was there any other children? And my sister and I went, and this is a long time ago, where it's not like the beautiful Hopkins centers that you go to now, and the knowledge base wasn't there. So that was probably in 1982 when my dad was diagnosed. So that's where it started, as a diagnosis to identify some of these odd things that were happening, weaknesses that were happening. And from there, I went to dental school in 1982 and had a terrific 30-year career as a dentist. And at that point, FSHD did, I had weaknesses, but it didn't affect me, my job at all, other than just being tired.
Yeah.
You know, so I was very lucky. I was very lucky. My dad's component and I were very similar.
Okay.
Three other sisters, one who also carries active gene, and one is a carrier, no symptoms, and one is not a carrier. So that's our genetic span out of the four girls.
Very, very interesting. You guys donate your time for a genealogy study with all that?
Did, yes.
You did? Oh, cool. Yes.
We did the muscle biopsy at Johns Hopkins, and with that, the blood. So the knowledge base, they were able to share that, the findings, which is what
nice.
We wanted to know. We wanted to educate ourselves about that. So that's how it started, and that's how it kind of carried through. And when you talk to other people, Tim, it's like, they're like, yeah, I couldn't do this when I was younger. And we're just like, yeah, we all live that. I guess it's that age group, you know, question mark. So.
Right, right. Yeah, it kind of answers the questions of why there was those limitations or couldn't do it and whatnot.
Yes.
I mean, similar here, right? I'd be like, I could never do a pull-up. Maybe I would hammer out one or two push-ups and everybody else is doing like 20 when they were like 12 years old. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me?
I thought,
I'm just weak. Oh, well.
I see that.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, right?
And that was my dad. He couldn't pass the state troopers test because he couldn't do the pull-ups. And that's how he went into the fire department.
Huh.
Not knowing anything. Yeah, interesting. Right.
Yeah, so when your dad's diagnosed, and it sounds like they kind of said it almost nonchalant. Oh, by the way, right? You said,
correct.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mine was similar. You know, oh, we might be dealing with a muscular dystrophy issue. That's what he tells me. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I'm not even sitting down. Like, what? You know, why do you think that is? You know, then if it was 82 when he was diagnosed, you know, mine was more recently and it was still a little bit of that. Why does it feel like, at least to me, maybe it does or does not to you, that FSHD isn't taken more seriously?
You know, I don't know if it's so much as more seriously. I just wonder if the education is out there for those people that we go to for help. I would say I could remember multiple times going to chiropractors, asking, you know, why are my shoulders this way? I try to submit. Nothing. No one ever. And it wasn't until I think probably my 13th chiropractor, but I was much older. I was in my 40s. And she says to me, I walk in, she says, can I ask you a question? I didn't write it on my form. She says, do you have FSHD? And I'm like, how in the world did you know that?
Wow.
That because one of my best friends has it.
Huh.
I just think, and I know how we bring awareness to our families, our friends who support us so dearly. It's like you want to get that out to the specialists, to the doctors, the nurses, the chiropractors, the physical therapists. I think I've been through 9 physical therapists, and I finally found someone who gets me, you know? And so maybe it's an educational.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Yeah, that's kind of a key point. I've heard that before. People are like, well, maybe they just need to know more so they know how to treat it better, give better advice. You know, the only advice I got was, you know, maybe don't lift so much weights, you know, and stay somewhat active, but it was almost like, not like it's going to do you any good.
Right.
which is real motivator, you know, when you're trying to go to the gym. You know, like, why am I going in here? This isn't going to do anything anyway. And honestly, that thought occurs to me every single time I'm in there. I'm like, why am I even doing this? Nothing's even going to happen, right?
Like, yeah, and back then it was that.
Yeah.
You're so right. I'm thinking now. I was told, don't do anything, just swim. No biking. Swim. I would run or track team. Don't do this, don't do that. And now it's like, you got to move.
Right.
Have to move.
Right.
So thanks for all the research and dedicated doctors that are working with us, you know.
Right. And it's more movement for a different purpose. It is not necessarily maybe to maintain the strength you have, you know, kind of fight off the disease the best you can by doing so. And it's good for other reasons, right? It's good for your mood. It's good for cardio if you can do it. And so it goes. So
absolutely.
When your family got the news, your father's diagnosed, did he immediately just kind of grab you guys? Okay, we're all going to the doctor. We got to see if this is genetic. Like, how did, was it like a trip in the station wagon? Like what happened?
Bird seat facing the
Yeah, other. Right. That was good time. When you said 82, I was like in bliss at that point. That was the best time of my life. 80s.
Well, anyway. I remember it was only the second time I ever saw my dad cry. And it was very emotional. I could remember the day he told me, and I had gotten, like, I think I told him I wanted to go to dental school.
Yeah.
And like, so he's telling me this and I'm telling him that.
Wow.
So, and at that time wasn't as, the symptoms weren't as obvious to in my body. And I remember taking him to the doctors, and we would go, and we'd go together as mutual patients with FSHD, and he was much more advanced than me.
Yeah.
And he'd do the testing on me, you know, separate from dad. And I say, I'm good. I'm not like my dad. I'm here really for him, but I'll come and do my yearly as well.
Sure.
Yeah. It's all up to who. And my older sister, she didn't show symptoms as early as I did. So she did not go. So we all settled into the diagnosis and let it happen as it occurred. Yeah.
That's probably better. But yeah, I get it. For your dad, it is a little devastating to hear something like that revealed to you. Yeah. When I got diagnosed, a coworker, actually, she was my manager at the time. I'm still connected with her and friends with her, but she gave me great advice. She has MS, and you know, I came to work. Like, I went from the doctor, got my diagnosis during my lunch, and then went back to work.
Oh my goodness.
And I walk in and she's like, how did the doctor's appointment go? I'm like, well,
yeah.
And she's like, wow. Okay. So she closes the door. We had a little office. So she closes the door. It's like, hey, just going to give you advice. Like, you're going to mourn this a little bit. And it totally blew me away. Like, to me, mourning is death. It's not, you know, it was dying at the time. All I did was find out something. It didn't really change, right? It didn't really change who I was in that moment, but it did change the mindset. She was spot on. You know, it's like this mourning of like who you think you are going to be or how you were going to age, or I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint why, but that definitely was the feeling as it kind of melted over you, so to speak. So I can totally relate if your dad was in that state of mind to be emotional about it. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Boy, you had an angel in your life earlier.
Yeah. She was great. And a great manager besides that, to be honest with you. So,
And how old were you?
40. I was 40. How old was your dad? You know?
Oh, Lord, he had to be in his late 40s as well. Maybe late 40s or 50s, early 50s. Yeah.
Oh, and even that's common. You know, you hear, you know, that it's kind of like middle of your life, so to speak. What is more devastating, sidebar here, is how it affects young people, you know, so aggressively. That to me is what's scary. We've had obviously a lot of adults on with the disease. I've had some teenagers, even someone I think was like 10 years old on here with their parents and talking about it. But it's very scary. You know, it's like It's not just to help us as adults, but to me, it's like, man, it's messing with our youth. We can't allow that. You know, we have to do something. It attacks them so aggressively. And I know a lot of people are worried that once a treatment does come, it won't really be available, you know, to someone that is an adolescent. Well, that can't fly either. And there's, you know, work to be done to try to change that. It's a tough road, but at least they're on the road. So as with that in mind, then as, you know, your involvement with FSHD Society walk and rolls, obviously that helps feed that, you know, it helps finance those things. So when did you, you know, go from, you know, your dad's diagnosis, you and your sisters doing the yearlies and so forth. Sounds like you were a successful dentist. And then where does FSHD Society jump in all of a sudden? And then you're doing walk and rolls.
Well, I have to say a big part of me adapting, accepting, getting around in my world is my husband. I met him when I was 51 and I had one AFO leg brace on at the time. And we met on match.com. And nice. I'm like, who is going to want to date a 51-year-old lady with a brace on her leg? I'm like, I'm going to get 80-year-old. So I'm going to go, this is not going to end well for me. I know.
Yeah.
But right, I did it anyway. And actually, my husband's younger. He's 3 years younger than me. And he's the most incredible human being I've met. And he was actually, I talked to a good friend. She says, on my second date, you have to tell him. She says, you have to tell him about your leg brace. And I'm like, oh God, okay, I'll do it. I told him, it's like, so what? And just so. He's like, yeah, so, you know? And I was like, okay, I didn't think of that like that. So, okay, I'll take so. And ever since, I mean, he met my dad and Hurricane Sandy hit in the shore area and my parents had to come live with us for 3 months.
Oh boy.
And this was an amazing time for my dad because my husband brought into life for him scooters and walkers and accepting this disease as opposed to hiding it, not embracing, not traveling. So I have him to thank for my freedom because I have two walkers. I have a travel walker. I have a house walker. I have a scooter. I have a trike. I have an electric assist trike. I mean, I'm very fortunate that he could see these things and we travel and make my life easier. So I have to mention and thank him. He's my angel. He's my biggest angel in my
life. That's amazing. Yeah, right. So what, right? He says, so?
And
clearly he didn't just say it. He lived it, right? He's like, well, then we're still going to do this stuff. We're just going to adapt, right? Yeah. We're just going to do it this way. That's amazing. Then was he kind of part of that driving force to get involved?
Absolutely. So what happened was he was on the FSH family support.
Okay.
Here's another unique and wonderful opportunity for family members. And he met the Philadelphia chapter. Bill and his wife, Jan, run that. And we attended a few meetings and we fell in love with them. There was I think only 9 members that were, it was after COVID. So there was some on Zoom and some in person. And we just absolutely fell in love with them. So we went to a few meetings. They were 2 hours away, but we drove. It was worth the trip. And then I received an email saying New Jersey, New York was considering opening up a chapter. So I sent Dave Rubin, who started this, an email. And then I said, hey, I said, I'd like to join your meeting. So we did a Zoom meeting. And he lives near the Jersey Shore. He has a home, a summer home.
Nice.
And he mentioned the walk and he said that we were considering doing a walk near the Jersey Shore. So I wrote him back and I said, if you're serious about the Jersey Shore, I'll offer my help. And that's how it started.
That's so clearly connection was the key with your husband being a part of the family group. And then that connection happens. It leads to the next and so on.
Yes.
You're involved in the walk and roll. Did you think it was going to be such a large undertaking? Because I've heard it's a large undertaking to take it on, but it's very rewarding.
Well, it was funny because I said I would help. I didn't say I'd be in charge. The next thing you know, Beth's making me, well, I love Beth to death.
Oh, yeah.
She's making me a captain and a leader. Like, whoa, I'm thinking to myself, I was, you know, I'm a great leader, but like, I was like, okay. So then I called on Team McCabe. So this is how I got my sisters involved. All I had to do was mention it, and they're like, absolutely, we'll help. And then we formed the Four Sister Team. And then with that, families joined, other family friends of ours joined. It's just overwhelming with how many people really, because it's you asking them for help.
Right.
I mean, I think when you ask people for help, it's so different than expecting people to help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that my sisters and I were all pretty genuine, and I think that came across, and people just, you know, stepped up to the plate and helped us accomplish this task.
I think it took a team, right? And then you had to ask that question. That's what people say. We got to ask for help.
You have to ask.
Yeah, I mean, this people aren't always going to offer. Because they don't know what to do, right? Sometimes it looks like it's such a big issue or such a big, as I said before, undertaking. Like, well, how could I, like, I don't even know where to go. But if you kind of tell them, hey, could you help with this? And then you give them that task, right? They're like, oh, I can do that. Sure. That's right in my wheelhouse. But yeah. You're right. Beth, you got to watch out, man. She could be a salesperson to me. You know, you gotta watch it. You know,
awesome.
I swear. Yeah, she could sell ice to an Eskimo. Easy. Easy. Yeah. I mean, she's phenomenal. I'm not saying that in like a sleazy car salesman type, used car salesman type.
No, she
I mean,
like,
energy is infectious. And then you're like, I'm in, let's do this. You know, and then you're like, later you go, oh my God, what did I just agree to? You know, so it sounds like that might happen a little bit, right?
That's it. And also, Tim, she said she'd help along the way, and she never abandons. She was there. Yeah. If you send her an email, it is answered within such a quick amount of time. You're so
wow.
And she has a Google, you know, docs that she shared, and it's all organized.
Yeah.
And she has meetings with you, you know, as you need them. And so there is a big support. I can't believe it's another year's gone by and we're doing it again. We're like,
yeah.
Where'd the year go? You know?
I know. Right. Well, it's, they say that if you have that annual fundraising event, you can give yourself about a week off.
Yeah.
And you're already starting the next year. You know, it might be small amounts, but yeah, you're kind of in it. Now, yeah,
so those who are on the fence, it's not that hard. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's like you can let the year go by. And I think our first meeting was in April.
Okay.
And she's just getting that to stimulate the interest and starting to rile us up, which.
Right.
We need.
Yeah. You got to fire up the troops, you know, reignite it and get people thinking about it again. So with your first year, it was pretty successful. I think you said it where it's kind of a tongue twister of all the first time or the walk and roll or first time event walk and rolls. You raised the most money of any first time walk and roll. Does that sound right? I think I phrased
yes.
that.
As Beth said, in the history of the walk and roll.
Yeah.
Team or for a it's a chapter, so it's not just my team. We all raise the whole New Jersey, New York. We raised the most money ever as a first time walk and roller.
Wow!
So that was really, and we didn't know that till after. So that was a nice something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can be able to hit that mark. Like, what was it estimately? What do you think it was?
Somewhere in the range.
That number in front of you, but
if I'm not mistaken, something around maybe. $70,000.
Damn. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was amazing. I mean, I watch it every day. I watch thank you notes as soon as the donations come in. I just want to be on it. I don't want to have to do 20, you know, 100 at the end of the walk.
Right.
And my sisters do the same thing. So, and creating teams is fun.
Yeah.
Actually, you can have, when people join your team, then they could do their own little fundraise. You know, they take $10 from five of their friends, that's $50, and they can put their thing. It doesn't have to be an exorbitant amount of money, you know?
Right, every little bit adds up.
Yeah, and one thing, Tim, I didn't tell you was that we had the date picked, and then it was a hurricane. So we had to cancel. That's the Jersey Shore. So we had to cancel and we picked another date down the road. It might have been like a month later, if I'm not mistaken. And we lost walkers, but we still had like 35 walkers. But
Okay.
we didn't get the original, I think 65, but we still, Beth was overwhelmed with even the change in date. It was,
Wow. Yeah, the people could still adapt to that change. You had it at Seaside Heights Boardwalk. Is that right? Did that sound right?
Heights, yes.
And it kind of paint us that picture because it sounds kind of nice. It sounds kind of picturesque.
It is. It's actually, we're towards the end of the boardwalk, and it's September 29th, and registration's at 9 o'clock in the morning. The walk starts at 10,
Nice.
and we're past the Ferris wheel. So there's a big Ferris wheel that in Storm Sandy wound up in the ocean. So they had to rebuild a big portion of that boardwalk. And
Wow.
it's, you know, it's like, I think, a half mile, if that at best. And it turned out the second day was absolutely stunning. We had a beautiful day. And, you know, again, oh, we had Mark Stone come in and he did an introduction speech for us, which was breathtaking. We had music
Always.
playing and
Yep.
yeah.
Wow. That is awesome. I mean, I'm almost there. And so obviously the day, that day was better than the hurricane day, I assume.
Definitely.
So how does the, well, we're too far off to see a weather forecast,
I know.
right? But hopefully it's good. I know it's tough. Isn't September like within this time, this is kind of hurricane season starting. So it's tough, you know?
We have Debbie coming over the weekends. Hurricane Debbie, tropical storm, maybe hurricane, probably tropical storm by that time. But yeah, so we're very close to the coast.
Yeah. So hopefully the weather's good. You don't have to reschedule it. And it'll just roll on, pun intended, as it should.
And you're
And
coming, right? You're coming, right? I heard you're
me
coming.
to New Jersey? I would love to. I've already told FSHEC, I'm like, we could manage that. Could you get me to like the key ones in one day? Can you imagine
Right.
the jet lag situation that would be jumping from time zone to
Yes.
time zone? Oh my gosh, I'd be exhausted.
And I believe Staten Island or Long Island, one of the islands, is also doing their walk the day before us. So now New York's going to have their walk. And
Wow.
yeah,
So are
so.
you in competition with each other?
No.
What? You have to be, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this will be their first annual. Yeah.
Okay. So they're rookies
Yes.
at it, just like you were. But look what happened with your situation. It
I
was huge.
know.
It was
And
huge.
you meet so many wonderful people. It's hard not to want to keep doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and like you said, with the drug trials that are out there, that there's three, you know, possible medications. We'll have choices in medications.
Yeah.
You know, we're close to phase three and another drug. I mean, I never thought I'd hear that. I thought from my, you know, nieces and nephews, I never thought for me, you know, but that would
Pretty
be
incredible. Yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
So.
And it's good that way to help raise the funds. It's, I don't want to say it's easier, but there's a little more motivational factor when people see that the money is going to something because there's progress. You know, it is frustrating when you donate, and you're like, man, they have not got any headway with this. You know, we keep
I
helping if it's ALS or those other diseases that definitely need the support. But it is nice that FSHD, there is, you know, some progress happening. When I guess I guess that's the other question. Like, what's like that buzz like then? You know, as people are arriving, the energy of that walk and roll, is that kind of what's on people's, you know, thoughts, minds, conversations, or is it also just, you know, as in treatments, or is it also just a time for people to meet each other.
I think probably a time for people to meet each other. And unfortunately, we did not get to go to the biannual meeting this year. We had some family issues that like we couldn't get away. But I really missed doing that because it's been a long time since we've gone to one. And I said, Daryl, I just love meeting with the people. You know, it's like I don't have to worry about, oh, I can't go there because, or I can't do that because. It's like everyone there is gonna know and gonna be able to help me or has a
Right.
better way of doing something that I don't, you know. And I think we met some great people, even some people who pain without their children who just got recently diagnosed.
Wow.
And they just want to absorb our stories, information we had, you know. So when you know you can help in any way, it's just, you know, again, just makes you want to do it again.
Right. Makes you want to do it again. Makes you want to get going again.
And I'm hoping it's bigger this time and maybe more people that I've never met come. That would be really amazing.
That would be amazing. Well, that's what I hear, that most times those walk and rolls, they grow, you know, steady by steady, you know, on it goes. And the fact that you're turning over stones, so to speak, of people to come out and get involved, because us as a community of FSHD people, you know, weren't really connecting with each other very much. And these help with that. And I'm so glad that you feel the same way, that it is a connectivity factor to it that almost leads people out to come to these events. And then you can all relate to each other. And yeah, it's a struggle sometimes maybe to do the walk or the roll part of the event, but it is the gathering part that really means a lot. Yeah. I know here in Wisconsin, I tried my darndest to, I think it technically still exists in the FSHD side world, a chapter, but man, it's hard. So I give you guys a lot of credit.
Thank you.
You know, I only had a couple of meetings and like first four people showed up and then one, and I'm like, well, okay, I don't know if it's working. So I'm like, I guess I'll just do this podcast thing then. I guess I'll just stay with this. So, you know, the fact that you guys are getting, you know, it was 35 last year, people come to your walk and roll meeting engagements and so forth, that is huge to kind of grow the community, is awesome. So yeah. You said that it's the 29th of September, mm-hmm. right? Registration's at 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Walk starts at 10. What else am I missing?
I'm just double checking because you know that point about it. I want to make sure I have the 29th. No, I think you're missing a plane ticket. So that's what you're missing.
No, that's what you're missing. Hey, you want me to? Want me to grab the mic? You know, that's what I'll do. I'm just going to hog the mic from you. I'm just going to grab it. Like, let's go, people. Let's get walking.
You have a much better presenter voice than I do, so I would love that one.
Oh, man. That would be great if I could. Well, you know, you can always Zoom me. I don't know.
I know.
You can Zoom. That would be weird, but yeah.
No, you have a lot of work to do just doing this for us, so that's really appreciated to get our
Yeah, of course. It's fun. It's a blast because I get to meet people like you. I've said that to yes, in the past, even family members, you know, and friends. I'm like, it's kind of weird. Like, a part of you hates the disease, of course, the fact that you have it. This sucks. But
yeah,
I've met a lot of people I had no way I would have met without the disease.
Yes.
That is strangely comforting, you know, like, okay, you know, people like yourself. I mean, I've talked to people from Australia and England, and it's like, what? There's no way I would have done that normally. I would have stayed in my, you know, safe space of Wisconsin and
right.
That's it. So yeah, it's there is a positive to it.
And Tim, I remember years ago in context to that, I was a cyclist on the road, and I was reading the, I think it was the MDA magazine, and there was a young man and his brother. They were cyclists and they had FSHD. And I know when I cycled with my friends, I did not have the ability for my hamstrings to recuperate. So I was always working my quads, and I never could quite figure out why can't I keep up with them? I can keep up with them until a hill.
Yeah.
And just exhausted the muscles. And I emailed them from South Africa. That's where they lived. You know, we had a conversation going back and forth on how they were actually, they went into the Paralympics. That's how good they were. So
again,
I educated a little bit about myself through them. They helped. And yeah, it was like you said, you never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
So
the last question for you, yeah, I do like to give those advice questions. Maybe the advice is, or a question relates them to the walk and roll. If you got someone that's on the cusp, they're not sure, should I get involved? Should I not? Should I have one in my community or even a team? Like, right. Should I maybe start a team in my area to help, but they're not sure. What kind of advice would you give to kind of help them, you know, push the intent over the edge to do?
Okay. I would say, you know, when I first did it, I was by myself. Have a team.
Have a team.
I think because it's, even if it's your husband, your girlfriend, your mother, father, just somebody else, if you had one person to go to the chapter meeting or go to Beth, talk to her, and see really what it is. And I'm telling you, she was spot on, Tim. She wow. said where the challenges would be, and she said it would be easy. And she had to say she was pretty spot on. And don't be afraid to ask for help. That's the other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally, there's checklists. There's items you bring to the walk, and you just write down who's going to bring the water, who's going to bring the donut. You know, I mean, it's that specific.
Wow. So it could be done.
It could be done. It could be done. Yes. And I think that's, and if you have a good support system team, I think that would definitely be a successful walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That is a great story. I knew it would be. They told me it would be. Maybe you doubted it, Mary Beth. I don't know. But an amazing story of family, teamwork, building a great walk and roll. Such success on last year's, despite a hurricane. Come on. Right? So I wish you the best success on this next one. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all goes. Go New Jersey. Sorry, New York. I think I'm leaning New Jersey's way here.
Tim, I want to thank you again. This is really a pleasure, and you put me at ease, and it was very easy. Anyone wants to do this with you, it's very easy. It's easy. Tim's awesome.
I try. Yeah. No, you're a great guest, Mary Beth. Thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure meeting you. You know, don't be surprised if you get some emails come next year's walk and roll to be back on.
Okay.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Take care now. Good night. Bye-bye.
That's Mary Beth McCabe from New Jersey area, New Jersey Shore. Not the TV show, as she said, but it does sound beautiful there. White sands. Who would imagine? I don't know. I'm not very traveled, I guess. The energy, folks, the energy. That's what she brings. God knows I needed it with this cold I'm fighting during the show, but man, she brought it. She brought it. And I knew she would because they told me she would. They being Beth, person we talked about, helping the walk and roll people. Gain ground, gain some traction, go through the pitfalls. That's what it takes, this team. Mary Beth said that. I think that's definitely one of the takeaways today is team. FSHD Society is on your team. They're here to help you. And yes, does it help that, you know, I mean, we know, like, we're trying to raise money, right, to get a cure, multiple treatments coming down the pipeline. We can see the hard work is paying off. It takes money to do this. It takes staff to do this. The staff that we want to dedicate 100% of their work time to this fight, we need to compensate them. Am I right? Correct. These things all help fuel the cure. Believe it? Believe it. That is the truth. And to be a part of it is amazing. I've been on those walk and roll days, hopping around Zoom to Zoom to each one, all the unique things and facets that each one gives. Man, I wish I had that that time and that like ability to get to all of them. I probably would start with New Jersey. That sounds amazing to see, and to see those people up close and in person and see how it's going with the walk and feel the energy right there. It's phenomenal. So I really implore you to be a part of those teams, build a team in your community. Maybe you're in the New Jersey area. Be a part of that walk and roll. You know all about it now on the 29th. Registration's live. Donations are up there. You can go ahead and donate. If you can't make the walk, spread the word. Share, right? As we're trying to do, we're trying to share what's going on. Within the rest of the community, you know, there are other groups that you can be a part of. Mary Beth mentioned it. FSHD Family Support is where her husband met other people. There's the Care Partner Hour. There's there's chapter meetings all throughout the calendar of FSHD community, how they're all meeting. Young adults, trial readiness. That's coming up on the 13th here of August. There is Feel Fit with FSHD, in-home PT and OT. Hello, that's on the 22nd. We all need that. So many good things to be a part of. Please take a look at the calendar at fshdsociety.org. Thanks again to the FSHD Society for helping promote and edit and do a lot of the back-end work to make this podcast possible. I love doing it. I love joining all of you each episode. And if you want to be on the show, I'd love to hear from you. There's a story you want to share. If there's something that we haven't talked about and you wish we would, what are those topics? Love to hear from you. FSHD Radio at fshdsociety.org is my email. You can also find that at fshdsociety.org's website. Everything you need to get in contact with me. That's how a lot of the guests lately have been coming about since we have changed this to FSHD Straight Talk. It's been great since we've made that move. It's been a lot of fun. And I look forward to the next guests moving on. So thanks again for joining us. You've been listening to FSHD Straight Talk.